Aphids and scales.
People that don't follow the rules of the road when bicycling on the campus.
Jamba Juice right across White Plaza. Because they use styrofoam and we have a petition so that they switch to more sustainable materials.
My nemesis, I won't mention his name specifically, is basically Machiavelli 2008. And every single thing he does is for his future political career. Everything. We basically move in the same circles. We write for the same newspaper, Sanford Review. He has something he calls the narrative. So he's graduating in 3 years because that looks good in the narrative. The next step of the narrative is to join the National Guard because he needs military experience in order to lead. And after that, he's going to go to law school and he's moving to Texas. He grew up in Pacific Palisades, but he thinks he considers himself a sort of a man of the people. So he wears cowboy boots and George W. Bush is his hero. To this day, he's one of the 19% or whatever of America that actually supports Bush. And we're nemesis in that I think that conservatism needs to be more intellectual. And he thinks, and has like ideals, kind of, to live up to. And he doesn't believe in that at all. He thinks that the only thing that matters is winning politically. The ideas don't matter. So he's my nemesis because I think ideas are the root of what makes a political movement, and he thinks they're the downfall.
So who's winning right now, you or this fellow?
Unfortunately, he's very charismatic, and people really like him, and he's very well-informed, too. So he's kind of
unstoppable.
Unstoppable, exactly. That's what's so scary about him, is not necessarily that he believes these things, because a lot of people believe these things, but the fact that my nemesis is just unstoppable. That is what is scary.
Unstoppable nemesis.
Unstoppable nemesis.
But, you know, not all nemesis relationships center around political differences. We found a whole range of reasons for people having a bone to pick, an axe to grind, a crow to eat, a beef to nuzzle.
Beef to nuzzle. How about controversial haircuts?
Or the attention of cute boys.
Or no good reason at all.
Some people have a nemesis over a cause, like these Prop 8 protesters.
My nemesis most recently was my parents, because they thought that because I had dreadlocks, I didn't believe in God anymore, and I was a disgrace to the family. That's all.
Yeah. Okay, hi, my name is Carmen Gray. I am 37, and I attend MJC in Modesto, California.
Okay, and why don't you tell me, when did you figure out that this person was your nemesis?
This person was my nemesis when I found out she wanted my man. He was my age. We were 15, 16 years old. It was physical. We got into a fight, and he was standing over there looking. He didn't break it up. He was part of the whole confusion. We ended up getting into a fight, and after that, we just became really arch enemies when we were at one time friends.
Did it ever get sort of resolved or worked out?
It never got resolved. At one point, I think I saw her when I was about 25, and it was funny because none of those feelings were even there. It was just, that was dumb.
So is there anything you could tell her now if you saw her today?
Girl, he wasn't worth it.
Stand up, fight back!
My name is Emily Cox. I'm a PhD student in the engineering school. My nemesis is Wendy Chow. I met her in 7th grade and I didn't really know her, and I didn't see her again for 6 years, at which point she marched up to me in college, introduced herself again, and asked me if I'd lost my scholarship yet. And I was confused as to A, how she knew I had a scholarship, B, why she cared, and C, why she was convinced I must have lost it already. So I went and talked to a friend who also went to junior high and high school with the same girl, and it turned out that she had been asking her if she'd been kicked off the ski team. So Over the last 10 years since then, we've had several interactions with Wendy Chow, who is, by the way, an MD-PhD student at Harvard Medical School, a professional model, and who competes at elite levels of both ski racing and biking. So why she chose me and my roommate to be her arch nemesis, we're never sure. But when given an opportunity, she always asks us about pending failures in our lives, including personal, professional, and athletic. So it's always kind of fun to have an arch nemesis who is vastly more successful than I'll ever be, and for whatever reason, cares deeply about failures that may or may not happen to me.
Wow.
Wow, indeed.
But a nemesis can be educational, too.
You mean like teaching us trust no one, keep your friends close, enemies closer, sleep with one eye open?
Yeah, kind of. But also, a nemesis or rival can challenge us to do better, to reach beyond our limits, to learn new things about ourselves, or even the Texas public school system.
My name is Chris Lohman. My rival was a fencer who I met when we were both about 12. We were both beginning competitive fencing tournaments, and his name was Ilya Rakosius, and he seemed just fine when I first met him, and we both fenced at about the same level, so when we would compete against each other, it would go between him and me. Sometimes he would win, sometimes I would win, but then it got to a really big tournament. And this was, I believe, the Junior Olympics in Ohio. We'd probably known each other for about 2 years at this point. And turned out that even though we were both from California, we were slated to fence one another. And I walked up to him and said, hey, you know, we're going to fence. And then he glared at me and he said, may the best fencer win. And knocked into my shoulder as he walked away. So, unfortunately, he won that day. However, this began a very long-term rivalry between us. He actually joined my fencing club at home after a while, so not only were we rivals at tournaments, but rivals in class as well. When you're fencing, particularly my weapon, which is saber, you can slash with the sword, and so we would just try to beat up one another. That's one of the nice things about fencing. If you don't like someone, you have an excuse to just try to rip them apart with a sword. It got to the point where the directors wouldn't actually want to direct us unless they got the most senior director there, because we were pretty vicious to one another. When he would lose, he would usually take off his mask and throw it on the floor. And I like to think I wasn't quite that bad.
So what were, did you have different personalities too?
Yes, very. And in fact, it would often play off the other. So he would always want to be first, always run through the door. I would run after him and then hold the door open for other people. And so it made us both, I think, adopt sort of exaggerated forms of opposite personalities.
Did you feel like hatred towards him, or what did you feel like before the match started?
It wasn't exactly hatred. Sometimes I would sort of think, okay, well, if we were actually fencing without all this protective gear and with real swords, then how would I approach the situation?
How did you think you'd approach the situation then?
Kill him. So then my senior year in high school, we went to a competition, and I think it was the first time that we actually started talking about something other than fencing. And we kind of started getting on, and by the end of my senior year, we were both friends, and were just fine cheering for the other at tournaments, and it still went back and forth, and when we actually fenced each other, there was an extra degree of competitiveness, but we both became friends after that. And believe it or not, he's a Cal.
That's perfect.
My name is Will Rogers. My nemesis was this teacher of mine that I had in high school. Her name was Pamela Cummings. And Pamela Cummings She was proud to be a woman of the 60s, which for her in Texas meant going to tanning booths and having this leathery dark skin and long hair. She was probably between somewhere between 50 and 60 years old, and she and I got along great until she decided that she was going to leave for the rest of the semester for some sort of colon issue that was unclear. She never really told, it was a health sort of thing, and so we had a substitute for over 4 months. And after she got back, after Pamela Cummings got back, she gave us this assignment with these extremely ambiguous instructions, and people who read the instructions one way got like 25 points higher than the other people. And this is when I was in high school and grades were like a super huge issue to me. So I really took it up as my cause and sort of like led the student rebellion on the side of the half of students who got the worst grades. The real showdown was in class when she said something and I just flat out said, I disagree. And there was just this dead silence in the whole classroom. And it ended up that she made me apologize, and then we decided to take it to the president of the school, the principal of the school, and so she was like, oh, you're going to go over my head. So she took it to the school board. And so the school board of the entire city school district, you know, they've got to manage all these K through 12. It's a city of 100,000 people. Every member of the school board read the instructions for this one test that we had in this one class because I stood up to Pamela Cummings. Our grades were eventually changed, but I mean, the result was a good lesson learned. The lesson being that it's really hard to fire a public school teacher for any reason whatsoever.
So what were things like between you and Pamela Cummings after this incident?
It's interesting. Afterwards, we actually got along fairly well in that I really did feel like I learned a lot from her from that event. And we had this strange mutual understanding, like something had happened between us, that like, it was this strange connection that I can't really explain it.
So a fencing rival and a leathery-faced teacher named Pamela Cummings seem like pretty archetypal nemeses.
Sure, but sometimes your worst enemy can come in packages you're least likely to suspect.
Catholic schoolgirl-shaped packages?
Exactly.
Good.
Okay. I'm Shoshana, and I'm a senior. So she was new to our high school. She came in sophomore year, and everyone liked her. First of all, her name was Mary, and she had transferred from this Catholic school. And I'm like, I'm not gonna hate on Catholic schoolgirls, but like they come across as all like sweet and nice, but they have huge boobs and they wear like really like they subtly slutty stuff. You know, that you're like, oh, that can work, but you know, then underneath they really just want to, you know. So, anyway, sweet Mary comes in, and, you know, like, she worked with me at the place I worked in Seattle, which was, by the way, the best burger place in Seattle for 13 years in a row, called Red Mill Burgers. So, we worked there together, and she's like, oh, sweet, should I talk like this? And I'm like, all right, whatever. It's all an act. It's all a persona. So then we were running for student government. And she came up to me and she was like, yeah, I really want to run. And I was like, yeah, you definitely should run. And I was talking to her about the positions to run for. And I was like, yeah, you should really run for vice president because there's this girl that's running and I don't think she's very good. And you should do it because, like, I think you can win. And she's like, oh, yeah, really? And I was like, yeah, no, because I kind of didn't like this other girl. Like, you know, whatever. I was being a little bitchy. And I was like, yeah, you should definitely run against her. And then she looks at me and she's like, well, what are you running for? And I was like, oh, I'm running for treasury. And she's like, oh, that's cool. So, you know, whatever. A couple weeks go by. And then lo and behold, we're up for elections, and who's running against me but sweet Mary Moriarty? And I was like, you backstabbing little bitch. You totally saw what I was running for, or asked me, all like sweetly and innocently and naively, and then ran against me. And on top of that, this is what kills me. Like, she kind of ran on this campaign of like, she was gonna do all these like sweet things and like, you know, whatever. I'm not a sweet person. And so it was a close race. And I mean, I won because I'm cooler than her. But like, you know, still, it was kind of a blow, because I was like, damn, sweet Mary's like encroaching on my space. And then, here's the clincher in this. So, meanwhile, I kind of had this crush on this guy named Jimmy. And, and then she, like, then she also had a crush on Jimmy, and she kind of knew it, and she'd, like, ask me, I'll say, like, what's Jimmy like? And I was like, well, Jimmy's, like, a sweet guy, you know, whatever. And then her and Jimmy start going out, and I was like, all right, whatever, you can take Jimmy. And now they're engaged and going, set to be married next year. And she was talking to me, like, I randomly ran into her, and she's, like, talking about how she wants to have 5 kids with him. And that's the story of me versus Mary.
And if you could see Mary today, what would you tell her?
Oh, you know what? Me and Mary are actually kind of, like, we're civil. Because, like, I ran into her. Because we live kind of in the same area. And she's, like, you know, and she's so nice. And it's hard to be mean to someone who's just so nice, you know? It's this affect. It fools you. It's like maple syrup that's just rancid a little bit at the core. But, like, initially, if you take it and you taste it, you're like, oh, you're so sweet, and I want to put you on my pancakes.
I like the story with the swords.
Yeah, that was a good one. Anyway, it seemed like people either couldn't imagine having a nemesis or had the perfect one. Lying Catholic schoolgirls, professional models with longtime grudges, and a fencer with a sinister Russian-sounding name.
Not enough people get to sword fight their nemesis. I think it's a shame.
I think most nemesis aren't so sword-wielding or as obviously well-defined. We might meet our nemesis or may never even know that they are our nemesis. Feelings can be complex.
So true, Dan.
More often than not, they come in and out of your life, stirring up whatever feelings you had and then leaving before you can settle it or feel certain about what it really is. They have a weird place in our minds with a complex cocktail of emotions.